Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The parable of the Great Supper, although it's not necessarily referred to as a parable, but at any rate, Jesus had been invited to a feast on the Sabbath. And there were all kinds of people at the feast. Jesus was there to be watched by the host and by the Pharisees and others who did not particularly approve of Jesus and his ministry because, for one thing, he hung out with sinners. He hung out with those who were despised. He hung out with those who the holy and righteous people would draw back from, lest they become unclean. Jesus had a few words to say at this feast to which he was invited on the Sabbath day to the man who was hosting the feast. He said to the man who had invited him, when you give a dinner or a banquet, hey, don't invite your friends, your relatives, your brothers and sisters, your rich neighbors, because then they'll feel obligated to invite you to a feast in return, and you'll be repaid that way. But no, when you give a feast, do it like this. Invite the poor. Invite the crippled. Invite the lame and the blind. Invite those who aren't well known in society. Invite those who may even smell a little off because they're unwashed. And you will be blessed because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just. And that brings us to the beginning of today's gospel reading. When one of those who reclined at table with Jesus heard these things, he exclaimed to Jesus, "Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God." This is a beatitude. You could read it this way. God will bless everyone who will eat bread in his kingdom. And this led Jesus to say, "There was once a man who gave a great banquet and invited many. He sent out the first invitation to let them know that on such and such a date, at such and such a time, he was going to host this incredible feast, and he wanted all those he had invited to be there. Well, then, at the time for the banquet, he sent his servant with the second invitation to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' Now, apparently, the host of this feast was well-known in the community. He maybe held a high position in the local synagogue. He may have been a Pharisee. He may have been, you know, someone looked up to into society. When you sent out an invitation to a feast at that time, it was considered an insult, a slap in the face, if anyone refused to come. But that's what happened. The man hosting the feast sent his servants to say to those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all began to make excuses, saying why they could not be there. One said, 'Well, I've bought a field and I need to go inspect it. So please excuse me. I won't be there. My regrets.' Another said, 'Well, you know, I was down at the cattle market the other day, and I just bought 10 oxen, And I've got to go examine them to make sure I got my money's worth. So please excuse me. And another said, I've married a wife, and therefore I cannot come because she won't let me. These excuses were not good excuses at all. They were an insult to the man hosting the banquet. So the master of the house became angry when the servant reported all these excuses to him. And he said to the servant, go out, go quickly, go to the streets and lanes of the city and bring in the poor who have never been invited to a feast like this in all their lives. Bring in those who are crippled, who may have trouble getting to the feast, so arrange transportation for them. Bring the blind, who won't be able to find their way here, so you will have to lead them to the feast. Bring the lame, bring them all. And so the servant did it, and he said, sir, everything you commanded, I have done. Yet there's still room in the banquet hall. So the master said to the servant, well, then go out to the highways and the hedges. Find the bums, the derelicts, the drunks, the no accounts, and compel them to come in so that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those who were invited shall taste my feast. They refused to come. Turns a sermon. No. What does this mean? What's Jesus talking about? Well, Jesus is riffing on the man's statement, blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God. Blessed by God are those who participate in the great wedding banquet of the Lamb. They're blessed eternally. And we want to be at the Lord's high feast. He has called us to that feast. He has invited us to that feast. And lo and behold, everything is now ready because Christ has done all things necessary to prepare us for that feast. He suffered and died for you, for your sins, the sins of the world. He was raised again so that God can declare you to be righteous. He has ascended to the right hand of the Father and now reigns in glorious majesty. And from heaven he extends to you, his beloved people, the gifts of God, the saving gifts, the gracious gifts that accomplish and extend to you the salvation he won on the cross. In the parable, the man who throws the banquet obviously stands for God the Father who sent his Son into the world. Those who refuse to attend the feast are the Jewish leaders, the Pharisees, those who despise Jesus, those who trust in a righteousness of their own, those who are trying to trip Jesus up and find him, hear him say something that they can accuse him of as a blasphemer, as a heretic. Salvation is of the Jews, And indeed, our Lord Jesus Christ was a Jew. But the people Jesus is addressing here were those dignitaries of the Jewish faith, those who served in the temple, those who were looked up to by the people as being particularly righteous and holy and close to God. They thought they had no need of Jesus. Jesus came to invite people to the great wedding banquet of the Lamb, and they turned down the invitation. So the invitation went out to others, others who would not decline the invitation. They're described as the poor and the crippled and the blind and the lame, the Gentiles, those who are outside the kingdom of God, your people, my people, we are Gentiles, we aren't Jews. And remember, God sent His Son to be the Savior of the world, the Savior of all who trust in Him, both Jew and Greek, Jew and Gentile. All who trust in Jesus are saved, and all are invited who trust in Jesus to that feast and participate in that wonderful banquet. But what about Christians? What about Christians who have been raised in the church and who have decided they don't need Jesus? What about Lutherans who have been confirmed and who have drifted away from their confirmation vows because they have decided they don't need Jesus? The invitation goes out to them too. You can extend the invitation to those you know who have thus far stayed away from the feast. You can extend the invitation not to, say, doctors and attorneys and senators and other such, although they certainly are invited too, but to nobodies, to people who may not have much to offer to this church, but Jesus has a lot to offer them. Salvation, deliverance from the devil, rescue from hell, joining us to sing praises to God, the God who has redeemed us wonderfully, the God in whom is gladness amidst all the sadness of this life, Jesus, the sunshine of the heart of the believer. God has this tricky way about Him. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, "Consider your calling, brothers, fellow Christians," I mean sisters too, "not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many of you were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of this, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, so that, as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord." Let's go back to this feast that was held for the blind, the lame, the poor, the crippled, the lepers, all the so-called unworthies of society. Imagine their astonishment at being there. Imagine the gladness that filled their hearts as the first course of the banquet was set before them and the wine was poured, the delicious wine. Maybe they talked to one another. Well, where were you when you got the invitation? Well, I was lying on the street, passed out in the sun because I was drunk. I was hobbling along the street trying to make it back to my house, and I was so tired I had to sit down in a doorway and rest. Well, no one was with me. I'm blind. I can't see. But the one who invited me brought me here. We too are called to know that joy and gladness, because we had no right, we had no redeeming qualities about us to be invited to the feast. But God has looked upon you and me with compassion and with mercy and with kindness. God, out of His grace, sent His Son into the world to be our Savior, our Deliverer, our Redeemer. And guess what? Jesus, our Savior, is the content of the feast. He is the main course. He is the appetizer. He is all the other courses that follow. He is the aperitif. He is the dessert. You could even say that He is the cigar the men go off into the room to smoke afterwards. It's all Jesus. And this Jesus gives you today His body, His blood, under the sacrament of the altar. You are invited to this feast. You are invited out of love, the Father's love for you. You are invited because Jesus knows you need this feast, because you know what? This feast is just I won't say just preliminary, but it is preliminary to that greater feast to come. That great wedding banquet of the Lamb described in Revelation, when all of heaven, the renewed heaven, and all the renewed earth, and all of the renewed creation will break forth in joy with the saints of God and sing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. Heaven and earth is full of His glory. Holy, holy, holy is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." It is because of the love of the Father. It is because of the love of the Son. It is because the Holy Spirit has worked through the proclamation of the gospel to compel you and me, sinners though we were, to come to the feast, that we are here today, and that we will be gathered before the throne of God in that unending banquet of joy and celebration in Christ Jesus. So come to the feast. It's an ongoing, repeated invitation each and every day of your life. Come to Jesus, in whom you have complete forgiveness. Come to Jesus, who suffered, died, and was raised again for you. Come to Jesus, who, as I said, is the content, the main course, and everything that's set on the table at this great feast of God. In the name of Jesus. And now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, your Savior. Amen.